J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
The human heart is the most important, the most emotional organ in your body. It's where all your love and your romance is kept.
What you trying to do to my heart?
Barely hear my heart beating.
On the other hand, the woman never tells you on the first date that she happens to drink some red wine and has some PMS, that she's capable of crimes against humanity. Yeah. So, you know, you can't blame the woman for being in a bad mood. You know, sometimes she's having a period, the chemicals are moving through there. Sometimes those chemicals mix with the chemicals in the wine, and it's like a witch's brew. A little menstruation, a bottle of Cabernet. Now you'll be wrong no matter what you say. We went out to a restaurant on her birthday. And we were having a really good time, but she was drinking red wine and having PMS, so I'm on full security alert. I know a fight's coming. I don't know where, I don't know how. I just know it'll be long, it'll be bad, and I won't know how it started. Sure enough, this waitress comes walking toward our table with the biggest bouncy waitress knockers, proving once again that tics are like the police. They're always walking in when you don't want them to. If you're looking for them, no chance. When you don't want them, boom, 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 boom. This is when your brain sends an emergency message down to your eyeballs, like, attention eyeballs, this is the brain. Mayday, mayday, mayday. We have two giant presumes closing from the south. Do not engage. Repeat, do not engage. She's drinking red wine and there's PMS. We are at DEFCON 3. I say again, two bouncing honkers are closing. Chest size, 3, 9er. Cup size, David, David, David. Do not engage those tits. But it's too late because your eyeballs are calling back like this. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit there, brain. Looks like we've got a couple of bazooms closing in from the south here. We're going to bank left and swoop in and get a closer look at this situation. So I guess I glanced at him. Across the table, here's the view.
Do you like the waitress's body? Do you think she's attractive? Because if you do, maybe you should be with her instead of me.
Go home then. This is when you hear the alarm from the end of every science fiction movie you've ever seen, when a planet's blowing up and you're... And...
3 minutes to total destruction.
There are 28 million possible answers to the you like the waitress's tits. All of them are incorrect. So you're sitting there going, to her boobs, did I like? No?
Why do you have to lie every second of your life? I'd have more respect for you if you acted like a man once in a while.
Attention all units, this is the brain. Do not act like a man. Repeat, do not act like a man. I've seen this before. You're being lured into an ambush.
Jesus Christ, get everybody the fuck out of there, and I mean now.
Yeah. Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, February 14th, 2023. Pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida in 2 days. How you doing? This is the J.C. Corcoran Podcast. You are at jcontheline.com. Actually, a lot of the players are already in camp, and the official day is tomorrow, but don't kid yourself, a lot of these guys cannot wait to get going, cannot wait to get going. This is Valentine's Day. There's a lot going on. There's a whole bunch of stuff I need to talk to you about, not the least of which is you did not hear me on the radio again this morning. I'm sort of not in control of the situation, and I'm just sort of waiting at some point, someday, which I'm told probably will be this week. The phone is going to ring and they're going to say, okay, you're going on tomorrow. That's all I know. I wish I could tell you more. There have been delays, and then there were delays, and then there were delays and delays and delays. Anyhow, I'm being told that it's you know, I'm just waiting. And you're not going to miss anything. As soon as that 101.5 signal flips on in St. Louis, we're going to let you know. Trust me, we've been waiting long enough. So that when it finally happens, trust me, we're going to let you know. The wind is going to be a big story today. There are wind advisories today. The wind isn't too bad right now, but as we get towards the middle of the day, early afternoon, they're talking about 35 to 50 mile an hour wind gusts. 50. Wake up tomorrow morning and find your garbage can in Pennsylvania. Valentine's Day, of course, but before we even get to that, we have to talk about more dead kids. Families save up money for the better part of their adult lives, wanting to send their kids to college. The kids get, summertime jobs. A lot of the kids work when they're in school. Everybody's saving up money because college ain't cheap. Then you go through the process of applying to schools, and sometimes you get rejected by the school that you really want to go to. And eventually everything checks out, everything pans out, and boom, there you go. You're loading up the SUV and taking your son or your daughter off to college. You're planning your Valentine's Day celebration for the following day. I'll turn on the news, see if anything is happening before I go to bed. And as we sit here this morning, 3 students dead, 5 wounded. I think all 5 of the wounded are critical. This is on the campus of Michigan State, and I feel a connection to it because I lived only a couple of miles from MSU. That was back in the late 70s. When I was there, by the way, I found out later that I didn't know at the time, obviously, but Deanne Lane was a freshman there at MSU when I was working in East Lansing, WILS. For those of you who are radio geeks, that was the station that John Records Landecker basically started at. And again, people will stand around and all the thoughts and prayers will come out. And other people will tell you, well, this is not the time. This is not the time while everybody's grieving. This isn't the time to talk about something, anybody's ideas to try to make this stop. But nobody ever seems to come back later and say, okay, now it's time. And so you know what happens? Not a goddamn thing. Nothing changes. And we'll be doing a story about dead kids again in, I don't know, a week or two. Or maybe tomorrow. You know, it was 5 years ago today, 2018, the Parkland, Florida situation. Deadliest school shooting in U.S. history. An expelled student opened fire on Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Had an AR-15 semi-automatic in less than 4 minutes. 17 murdered. 17 wounded. When he stopped firing, he hid his weapon and tried to escape by blending in with the crowd. Hard to know whether what happened in Michigan last night was in any way connected to the Parkland situation. My guess is yes. The perpetrator is dead, but they always go back into the apartment or the basement or wherever this dope has been living, and they dig up all sorts of manifestos and they check his social media. But like I said, now's not the time. That's what we're always told. Now is not the time to have the discussion about this. I don't want your guns. Nobody wants your guns. If we didn't have guns, go ahead and have guns. I don't have any guns, but if I lived in a situation where, you know, there's parts of the city of St. Louis where the cops don't even show up anymore, and I don't blame them, by the way. But, if I lived in a situation like that, or if I lived out in the country, I think I would probably have a gun. I'm not against guns. I'm against dead kids. I know that's a very, very bold position I've taken. Last night on social media, Dan McLaughlin, Danny Mac, issued a very long and detailed the explanation of his current situation. Turns out, according to Danny, the major problem was not alcoholism, it was depression, severe depression that he has been treated for a long time, but things got out of hand again. A lot of people pulling for Danny Mac. It is interesting what we do in this country. If it's somebody we like, we're pulling for you, Danny. We're pulling for you. If it's somebody we don't like, he's a fucking drunk. Now, there's lots of reasons why I don't drink and drive, or I don't take drugs, or don't get involved in a lot of things that people seem to get in trouble for. I won't give my detractors the satisfaction. This has been a rough couple of weeks for yours truly. 13 and a half years since I've been on an FM music station in St. Louis. Now I'm getting ready to come back, and to my surprise, there's a lot of people who don't want to see that. But even when they really lay into me, I can stand there and go, well, you know what, dude? You can hate me all you want. But you know what? Never had a DUI. Never took a swing at somebody unless my own personal safety was endangered in the first place. Not some sort of deadbeat dad. You never heard about me being hauled off for taking a swing at a woman. No tax evasion. Am I an angel? Hell no. What fun would that be? There's a big difference between somebody like me being sort of a professional boat rocker where you have fun calling people out for stupid stuff. Most of the time, if somebody gets my attention, it's because they're asking for it. They're begging for it because they have taken some sort of position or they have been found guilty of some sort of infraction that violates the laws of people just trying to get along on an everyday basis. There's a big difference between somebody who is a boat rocker and somebody who's a troublemaker or somebody who's dangerous, not only to everybody else, but also to themselves. Like I said, am I an angel? No. But I still wonder what it is that I did to get everybody this mad at me. And it's a small number of people, but it's enough to be an annoyance. And sometimes I will make the mistake of attempting to reason with people and go, all right, what is it? What? And most of the time, you know, when I try to engage somebody on that level, they can't tell me what it is that pissed them off, that made them hate me so much. It's just sort of a general statement, sort of a blanket dislike. So I'm like, so you can't really point anything out, any individual thing that I did to make you hate me? And it's usually the answer is no. Or even better than that, these are the ones I love. They will go, well, when I was in high school, you did that. I go, when were you in high school? 1986. Okay, so I stop. I go, so hold it. You're mad at me for something that I did or said almost 40 years ago? This is why you don't like me? And then the rest of the stuff is all political. So like I said, you know, it is surprising. I could give you names of people who who you know, and you'd be very, very surprised to find out who they are, people who just sort of run around trying to take my head off every opportunity they get. But I'm going to tell you something. When this new show finally goes on the air, this new morning show that should be happening, you know, the phone could ring in the middle of this podcast. I don't know. And they could say, we're going on tomorrow. It's literally that close. I think people might be a little surprised at what the new show is going to sound like. This is going to be what they call in the music business and in the radio business primarily as music intensive, which is a fancy way of saying we're going to be doing a lot more playing of music than we are going to be talking. I'll be there on an ongoing basis throughout the course of the 4.5 hours. I'll be there. And you'll know it, but I think it might end up sounding a little bit different than you are thinking. It's still going to be what you're accustomed to, you know, getting it from me, but that's about all I can tell you right now. It was on this date, 1985, that a lovely young woman by the name of Wendy Williams, formerly of the rock and roll band, the Plasmatics, was in town at the Westport Playhouse to do the Rocky Horror Picture Show for, I want to say it was something like a month. They were doing like, you know, 5-6 performances a week. Amazing what that girl could do with a ping pong ball. I'll just leave it at that. On this date in 2013, after surveying what was available in the St. Louis radio market, I looked around and said, I can't think of one radio station that I could work at. That's a pretty sad statement, you know? No radio stations any longer were providing the kind of, I guess you would say, landscape that would have accommodated what I do. And so I looked around and I'm like, well, I'm not going to, you know, open a McDonald's. I work in radio. And so I started putting out feelers. And market number 4, Houston, Texas, called. I ended up in Houston for about a year. They ended up changing the format to, well, I mean, we were a classic rock station, 20 years classic rock station down in Houston. And somebody in an office in New York put a line through the call letters and said, hip-hop. So unless I wanted to change my name to Jay-Z, I was out of luck. Came back to St. Louis, figured, well, somebody will hire me. It's been a couple of years now. Somebody will hire me. On this date in 1992, I was sitting in about the fourth or fifth row of David Letterman's studio in New York City. And as is often the case, actually, I think he did it every, yeah, he did it every night. Right before the show would start, Dave would come out. He didn't have his suit coat on. He was just in his, shirt and tie. And he would come out and mess with the audience a little bit. And as he walked past me, I was sitting on the aisle with my wife at the time. As he walked past me on the aisle, I held up one of our old JC and the Breakfast Club moist towelettes. And I just sort of offered it to him. And I'm going to tell you, it's just like stopped everything. For whatever reason, Dave was just taken with the idea that I would present him with a moist towelette. So he takes the thing, puts it in his pocket, and then messes with the audience for about another 10 seconds, but then they give him the cue, we got to start. So he goes running backstage, they put his suit coat on, and Paul starts playing, and then Dave emerges, and there we go. So, you know, as was always the case, Dave would do his monologue, and they would go sit down at the desk and do what they would call a set piece. But before he would do that, sometimes, again, he would mess with the audience a little bit. And I have the audio somewhere. I cannot find it. I know I have it somewhere. Anyhow, before he goes into his set piece, he says, ladies and gentlemen, right before we began tonight's show, there was a man in the audience who was so, and I don't even remember what he said after that because I knew exactly where he was going. And I nudged my wife. I go, he's going to bring out that fucking moist towelette. And sure enough, he holds up the moist towelette that I gave him. And he says, the gentleman in the audience was so overwhelmed with emotion that he presented me with this moist towelette. And the audience applauds. And when it subsides, he goes, and he looks at me in the audience. He's looking right at me. He holds it up and goes, sir, I'm going to hold on to this as long as it is moist. And again, the audience bursts into applause. I'm going, what is going on? So that was fun. That was on this date back in 1992. Wow. Speaking of Dave, and speaking of the fact that today is Valentine's Day, here's a great couple of bits here. These were recorded from Dave's various shows. Comedian Larry Miller. Now, Larry started out as a great stand-up comic, did Letterman Show all of the time back in the early and mid-80s, and then started acting. He was in Pretty Woman. He was in all of those Christopher Guest things like Waiting for Guffman and Best of Show. And then it was about, I want to say maybe 10, 12 years ago, maybe a little longer than that. I have to go look it up. But he was coming out of some building somewhere and slipped and fell and hit his head, hit the back of his head, and had to have this, like, you know, massive brain surgery thing. And when I saw him on television after that, he just didn't seem the same. His speech, just a little thicker. I haven't heard about him in a long time. I hope he's doing well. He's a good guy, by the way. He told the Frank Sinatra story about Frank Sinatra coming back to see him in his dressing room before a show that he opened up for. Most of you have already heard that, so I'm going to play it again. But, you know, on Valentine's Day, you know, it's about true love and everything like that. But the comedians love it because it gives them an opportunity to focus on what is, for as far as I'm concerned, the real issue, and that is the differences between men and women.
And men don't hear a word. Men do not hear a word. It's literally, the words don't go in the ear. There's an enzyme missing, and the words just keep... Right on. If you could just hear the way we hear, our ears are different. Our ears are like shortwave radios that never quite come in. Our ears are just always the thing. We catch a phrase every so often. Like, cars in the shop. New curtains. Everything to us sounds like a train going by. Just don't forget dinner Saturday night. See, that's actually the way we hear. Hey, maybe that helps knowing that, huh? Men don't hear a word women say. And if the TV is on, good luck now. I mean, you might as well be talking to someone on life support, you know. Ha ha ha! And if it's a ball game,
so that was Larry Miller. And then Daryl Hammond of Saturday Night Live did his first ever network appearance doing stand-up on David Letterman's show. And pretty much everybody saw that because he just killed it. And then when Tom Arnold was doing that show on Fox Sports, they invited Daryl on to do that. This is a great bit.
Is it true that you've been married to the same woman twice?
Yeah.
And so you were married once and then you got a divorce.
Yeah, and couldn't help myself. What we ended up doing was hanging out all the time.
Right.
You know, because we really didn't know how to really be apart.
Right.
It's just that when we were married and living in the house and all of that, it was just that we didn't know how to do that. My parents are married 46 years, and they looked tremendous. And, you know, the first time I was married, like, you know, just under an hour. It was like my friends would come over to my house. I was already like a burglar in my own home. I mean, they'd come over and say, Daryl would say, oh, shut up. She's right there. Now, you see, like, if you guys laugh at that at all, it's because you must know what it's like to drop a towel on the floor and hear an alarm go off. Because you broke a rule, the kind of rule which exists only in a house full of love. Yes, here you'll find rules for the bathroom, rules for the kitchen, rules for the sweet and low dispenser. That stack of dishes in the sink, how long can they stay there? You'd better know. Because somebody knows. And since there's only two of you on the rules committee, how much you want to bet it ain't you. Now, you don't get divorced because the thrill is gone. It's because you don't know how to stack the tapes right underneath the VCR. Or you put the spoon... My wife would get so mad at me that the hole in her mouth was no longer big enough for all the topics to come out at one time. And she'd like yell at me as I'm being yelled at by an auctioneer, like, Daryl, damn it! $100 bid, $100 seat, $100 for it.
God. All right, so back to that initial appearance, though, for Daryl Hammond and David Letterman. And again, a great bit.
Here's my marriage quiz. Your wife comes in and says, do you think I look fat? Do you say A, yeah, you could lose a few. B, no, honey, you've never looked better. Or C, wait, let me get my protective headgear. Well, some of you might have been encouraged to be honest about your feelings. That's what happened to me. And I said, A, yeah, you could lose a few. And as they say in the nature specials, when the wildebeest leaves the herd, sadly now, there can be but one outcome.
And we've had our own moments discussing romance on the various incarnations of this morning show. In the background, you will hear Lance Hildebrand, Traffic, God, Jamie Allman, and I'm trying to remember who else is on this.
I would really appreciate it if you would wish my husband, Keith, a happy Valentine's Day and tell him I love him. He never used to be the romantic type until just a few weeks ago. Lately, I found chocolates on my pillow, love notes in my car, in my purse, and on the mirrors. He calls me just to say I love you. And the last two Fridays, he's shown up at my work with flowers. He has turned into the most romantic person. He has made me very happy, and I love him. Thanks. Karen, we all read this, and we've come to one conclusion. Your husband is having an affair, okay? We just wanted to point that out, but thanks for listening.
It warmed the cockles of my heart.
Kiss. I don't know what that means.
You got a boy, and you got a girl, and they put their lips together, you see, and then they kind of slide them around.
When I kiss you, and the northern girls with the way they kiss,
and I've never ever kissed a woman before,
I will kiss you,
then we kissed a little more,
when you kiss me.
I think the key to a happy marriage is stay out of a fight with your significant other. We'll deal with that here in just a couple of minutes. Somebody made a list of movies you're supposed to watch on Valentine's Day: When Harry Met Sally, The Notebook, Love and Basketball, Casablanca, Moonlight, Before Moonrise, Cinema Paradiso, Up. First 5 minutes of the movie will be awfully depressing. All right, It's a Wonderful Life. That's a Christmas movie. We just finished watching all that. How about 500 Days of Summer? See, when people won't watch that, or Annie Hall, because, well, I don't want to give anything away, but let's just say both movies end the same way. It's not romantic. If the guy doesn't get the girl, they don't end up together for the rest of their lives. What's wrong with you? Conrad Doebler died, I guess it was day before yesterday. Conrad Doebler, 4 years, some people would say decades, considered the dirtiest player ever to participate in NFL games, played for the Big Red back in the day. When I got to St. Louis in 1984, somehow I ended up doing a bunch of personal appearances with Conrad Doebler. I mean, there was stuff down on the landing. We were always doing these bar appearances. I'd turn around, there would be Conrad Doebler. I think he was working for the brewery or something. And because these appearances were in bars and we were just trying to sell beer, it was Conrad and JC all the time. And we had some really funny talks. I think he was one of those guys, much like I think Al Roboski was like this for a long time, too. When you build this long-lasting reputation of being a tough guy, and then you have to go out into civilian life because the arena in which you establish yourself as a tough guy, in this case, the NFL, that's done. And now you have to try to just go out into the general population and assimilate a little bit. And I think both of those guys had difficulty doing that. They're both great guys. Or Conrad was, but yeah. Al Roboski, get him. You get him. He's a pussy cat. Al and I always talk about back surgeries because I've had one, I've had three. He has had, I think it's 11 back surgeries, mostly neck surgeries, although he's had lumbar problems too, but a lot of his stuff was neck. And then a couple of years ago, I ran into Plaza Frontenac. He was telling me that he had had one neck surgery and they screwed it up. And it took something like 2 or 3 additional surgeries to undo what was wrong with the outcome of the surgeries that got botched. A couple of years there, Al was practically living in a neck brace. And I'm not talking about those spongy ones either. I'm talking about those, you know, hard plastic Jerry's Kids neck braces, you know, because they put you in that at least for the first month or so. And then you can go to the spongy, to the soft ones. But man, that is no fun. Your neck muscles atrophy. So when you take the thing off to take a shower, it feels like your head is just going to roll right off your shoulders and onto the floor of the shower. Tight, no fun. All right, late night tonight, Chip and Joanna Gaines. I can't believe he's going to stay off of her long enough to do a television appearance. How many kids do you need? Jesus. It's on, let's see, it's on Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel's got Charles Barkley and Paramore. Patrick Stewart on with Colbert. James Corden has Allison Brie and Paul Rudd on with Seth Meyers. An Indiana woman was arrested for allegedly pulling a man's penis in a violent manner. She received a summons to appear in court. Yeah, I'll bet. And about 36 phone numbers, too. Valentine's Day today. Cupid's not available. Used all his arrows shooting down Chinese spy balloons. Birthdays today. Rob Thomas, Matchbox 20, 51. Jim Kelly, former Bills quarterback, 63. Teller, as in pen and, 75. Pat O'Brien.
Let's get some filthy whores and some cocaine and just go fucking crazy.
Pat O'Brien, 75. Carl Bernstein, as in Woodward and Bernstein, 79. Michael Bloomberg, billionaire and former mayor of New York, 81. Aretha Franklin recorded Respect on this date, 1967. Wayne's World opened in theaters on this date, 92. And YouTube was launched on this date, 2005. That was 18 years ago. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are headed out on the road. It's called the Restless Leg Tour, and it's going to be in April, and it's going to, they're celebrating their 30-year friendship. Let's see, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Boston, and Atlantic City. That's where you got to go to see them. Last night on Colbert, John Oliver was absolutely hilarious.
You're an American.
Yes,
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did, of course. I watched the Super Bowl.
And did you enjoy?
I love it as an event. It's a cartoonish event. It is literally too big in every possible way. What's not to like about that? When you have the city of Philadelphia represented as well? Come on.
Yes. I was hoping they would win just because I enjoy watching the people attempt to climb the greased up light poles.
Either way, if Philly's in the Super Bowl, either way the city is going to burn. It's just what motivated those flames. Are those flames of joy or flames of rage? But you're working backwards from arson on a massive scale. The thing that's gross to me about the Super Bowl that I always forget is going to happen is that they give it to the owner first, the trophy.
The Lombardi.
Give it to the owner. The team has just won. The coach has just coached this team through. And you have some arse 70-year-old billionaire say, I would like to thank my family for this. What? Your family has nothing to do with this. Nothing. You shouldn't even be on the field. You should be up in your executive box, shutting up. That's what should be happening.
Right.
In no other sport do you give it to the owner
first. They don't do that in football?
No.
In your football, I mean?
No. Yeah? It's about the people that did it. But the fact you would give it to the owner first and then interview him is absolutely grotesque.
Right.
It has to stop.
But it must be fun for them because who else gets to do that other than the owner of football?
Oh, sure. That's right. I have $20 billion and now I have this shiny thing. There we go. I tire of it now. What else will fill this vacuum inside me?
Yes. Well, the reason they buy the teams... The reason they buy the team...
Yes.
Is because they had $20 million, but nobody knew they had $20 million. Then they buy the team and then everybody knows.
Yeah, sure. I mean, part of me thinks it's also to kind of still own people. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're not the nicest people, NFL owners. They've proven that. That's not me projecting that. They have proven that they are.
How would you compare American football fans with European, like, football fans? It's famous, like, soccer hooliganism, as we call it over here, is famous. How would you compare the fans?
We like to break stuff, too. that is what I think. What I like about the city of Philadelphia sports fans so much. I kind of really respond to this is what you're supposed. It makes sense that a city that was kind of born out of some British influence. Again, let's not get into what you did after that. But it really feels like there is some connective tissue to hooliganism in Philly. That's why I like what they do. Flipping cars before the game starts. You think you're doing this right?
Yes.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. All right, I hope you have a nice Valentine's Day, and we'll finish out the podcast today, another stop with the very, very funny Richard Jenny.
The only thing I think you have to tell somebody on the first date is if you have severe psychological problems to the point where you're dangerous, it's only polite to point that out. That's why I think on a first date, the man and woman should have a dinner table. They should meet up at a card table. They meet up at a card table, write down all their little emotional problems on little playing cards, take turns being honest. Slapping him down. The guy goes first. He goes, hello, my name's Tom. It's nice to meet you. I'm a Scorpio. She goes, hello, my name is Sally. I'm a psycho. All right. My dad used to lock me in the closet when I was 6. My dad came out of the closet when I was 5. Well, I'm self-centered and obsessed with my physical appearance. I'm from Los Angeles as well. All right. I sure now. Well, I can't have an orgasm unless I'm on top. I can't have an orgasm unless I'm on crack. Well, I have an imaginary friend named Bosco. You know Bosco? All right, look, I'm neurotic. I need to see other people. I'm schizophrenic. I am other people. What a great crowd. Thank you very much.
And then, of course, true story. He blew his brains out. That's what love can do to you if you're doing it the wrong way. On that happy note, The J.C. Corcoran podcast is, well, we've moved now to 11 o'clock every day, and it's to accommodate our new morning show at 101.5 and 101.7. The 101.5 is not on the air yet. They're telling me it could be at any moment. I'm just like here in the three-point stance, ready to pounce and let you know as soon as it happens. You go to 101.5 right now, there's nothing there. That will be changing very, very soon. Did you hear me? Very, very soon. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.